This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, the end of a week and the beginning of a new month.
Good. Hello. Ooh, this microphone is working.
It's so exciting. When Leanne's mic works, we're all celebratory.
Woo.
Fantastic. So, Ben is back.
Hello.
Hey,
good
Ben.
Morning.
How was your week?
Very good, Gareth. It was a very good week. Nice break.
Spent some time with Gary Player, I see.
Yeah, we hung out a bit, had a bit of a chat, played two amazing golf courses, saw incredible cars, got to drive in really nice cars.
Very nice, Ben. Very nice.
He really is much shorter than I imagined, looking at your photographs.
Yeah.
Unless you were standing on a box.
No, look, I am also deceptively tall, I've come to realize. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, Mr. Player is 83 years old. You do start to shrink.
Yeah, that's true.
83. Look, he is in fine condition for an 83-year-old. He really is. If I can look like that at 83, I'll be very happy. Thank you. I'll take it, and I'll be more than pleased to go to my grave by 100.
Yeah. Well,
no, he's in good nick.
He is, and he was in fine spirits, too. Like, normally when you go to these events that he's either the host or the biggest draw card, he's very, like, he's not on guard, but he's got a lot of things to do.
It's pressure.
Yeah, so this was just it was a brand event. So it was a BMW event where he's, like, one of the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so cool, like, chat to, and he was a lot more relaxed. Obviously, a lot less people around him. And he had some amazing things that he shared with us. On Monday, I'm going to make a little montage. Like, when I say amazing things, I'm actually being serious this time around.
Yeah, so you're not being sarcastic.
No,
you've found reasons to like him more, not less.
Yeah, he had some very interesting insights towards, because it's No Politics Friday, I don't want to bring up some of his insights that he did share with us in that respect.
Yes.
But he's like, the guy travels so much, and this is the great thing of travel as well. Say what you want about Gary Player, but with the amount of travel he's done in his life, he's met so many people who've changed his perspective on things and
of course,
different things.
Because of who he is, he has access to really, really smart and interesting people and influential people.
Exactly. And because he's always so keen to learn and make a difference, he's keen to engage with everybody. I mean, you meet people like this in your life, you always feel like it's such a fortunate thing to do, because you're not just talking to people who are just regurgitating shitty narratives to you or cuck that they've heard from
people
someone else.
People with tiny lives and tiny narratives and tiny realities. I mean, the more you travel, the more you experience, and obviously the longer you live, the better your stories get, the
exactly.
better your experiences
more
are.
Perspective that you get.
Does that mean I'm going to have to live for long?
Yeah, but you'll be fascinating.
Do you want to keep it? Do you want to just cut it short now?
It's so hard. It's
really hard.
Hey?
That sounds good, Ben. That sounds really good.
Yeah, but I did almost murder someone, which was quite unfortunate.
How did that happen?
No.
We played Bazula on the first day. We played Simola on the second day.
I don't know what those are.
These are golf courses.
Golf courses, obviously. By your mind.
What do you think, it's a game?
Yes.
Obviously, he says. Okay.
This isn't like the sequel to Jumanji. These are actual golf courses. So it's out in the forest in niceness. So you go the other side of the lagoon, up into the hills, and the mist rolling in, and it's all so beautiful because you've got these big trees and big rolling hills. And it was quite wet, so you have to take a golf cart, which I always hate because I like to walk. And we're going up this hill, and my playing partner for the day is an elderly gentleman. He likes telling me some interesting stories, so I'm listening, and I'm looking for his ball, which I know is lost, but we'll look anyway to be polite. And we're going up this hill. I was thinking, like, shit, this hill is actually quite steep, but golf buggies go everywhere. But then I thought, oh shit, it's actually like really wet. So the wheels kind of locked on this hill, and then the thing just started making a beeping sound. So I put the brake on. Brake had no impact whatsoever. It's now going backwards, but it's going backwards fast though, like out of nowhere.
Oh, no.
So I looked behind me.
You got your clubs on the back as well, so that's weighing it.
And I've got this guy next to me who, at this stage, I think was still talking to me. And then I think, so I go, okay, look, if I swing this to the left, I can bank up against this hill and hopefully come to a bit of a stop against this railing. Because if I bank to the left, sorry, the other, bank to the right, I might hit a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then the slope was actually going to get gradually faster if I go that way. Judgment call, 1 second to make, bank to the left. The thing now aquaplanes terribly. And there's this very odd, and for what I gather, no purpose to having this ditch there, but it's like a rock-clad ditch. Golf cart flies into it. This poor dude on the right, who's, like I said, in the twilight of his age, he is now like the thing is now turned, like the golf cart is now flipped, and this guy is now, I look to my right, I think, oh, should I kill him? This is I've dealt with death this month, now I'm dealing with it again. He's not there, he's in this ditch, he's lying, and I'm just saying, are you okay, please be okay. And he was kind of looking at very startled. And he just...
Was he still in the thing?
No, he was out of the golf cart. He was now in the ditch.
And but you got it to stop.
Was he on his back?
Well, Gareth, it was in a ditch.
Yeah, but...
Was he looking like a turtle on his back?
Yes, he really was. But there was all these rocks. I thought, oh, fuck, if he has hit his head, like, that's it.
Imagine he's bleeding from the back of his head.
So I'm now staring up at the sky because the golf car is now on his back. I get out of the cart hurriedly to go check on him. And thankfully, he's still alive. A little bit shaken up. There's blood in his arm.
Was he swearing?
But this is the funny part of the story. And I didn't tell anyone. Well, I didn't bring it up with him because now you get this rush of emotions that you just had an accident, essentially. It's an accident. You know,
yeah.
You've just crashed this thing. It was a golf car or a cart. You've had an accident. So now, as this is all going through my mind, what I can't get out of my mind, his final words.
Yes.
His final words were, "You can't."
Somebody said to you, you're trying to save him. Because you guys would have carried on going backwards down the hill,
yeah,
into that, God knows what.
But
and it's also not your fault, right? Weather conditions.
Look, I shouldn't have driven up the hill, no doubt about that. I can't get away from that. But I didn't expect, because I hate golf carts so much. It's not like I ever drive them. It's not like I'm in the golf cart series that travels the world, you know.
Yeah.
It had no traction whatsoever.
So yeah, they've got very small, very weak tires and not particularly good grip.
It's normally great, but it's anyway. So this guy is now. So now he
genuinely angry?
No, I think he was. Look, I mean, going into the crash, I think there's a lot of things going through his mind. He probably thought maybe I could have helped the situation.
He's like,
better.
This little shit's gonna kill me, and I've got this far.
Young man,
exactly. So then we kind of get him out, and then my playing partner in the other car now comes rushing out. But way too enthusiastically, he's like grabbing this guy's arm to get him out of the ditch. So I was thinking, oh, crazy.
I saw a picture on your Instagram of Dan.
So Dan Nickel was the fourth person.
Yeah, who does that show. Yeah. And he was pulling your cart out of the ditch with you.
So
it looked like a bunker, though.
No, it was a proper ditch with like bricks inside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now he's now, we get him out of this ditch. But then, like a newborn giraffe, he stands up and then his legs just collapse and he just falls over.
How old was this guy?
70-something.
Can you imagine, Ben, if it had been Gary Player and you had hurt and injured Gary Player?
Oh, my word. Or killed him.
I would have run into the forest and lost myself for society. Imagine killing a national treasure. No, so now this guy's got blood in his arm. He's got mud, like, there's like mud in his hair, mud in his shirt. And I'm feeling so bad. Like,
and you
looked
fine, and you had no scratches.
Well, I was on the high side of the car, but I was feeling terrible.
Ben sacrificed this old man to save his life. That's what he did. And if the old man had died, Ben would have said, well, at least I survived.
But it looked so terrible, and now he's just now collapsed. So I'm thinking, what if he's got a concussion? So,
really? He is an old man. I mean, Jesus. He must be 80-something. Look at Ben just staring at him. There's a picture. You got to put this on. And it's a ditch.
It's a big fat ditch. But now Dan Nickel, who's now, he loves having dirt on me. And for some reason, I always seem to give him dirt. He's now worked out that everyone's fine. So now it's time to pull the piss. So he starts filming me. And now he's like, people from the top, because it's so misty, they can't see us down below. So the group behind is now next to us. And Dan's like, it was him. It was him. He was the driver. It was Kopinski. He was the driver. So then five of us got into this ditch and we actually pushed this thing out. But now word is now spread around the golf course because all the maintenance staff saw this happen. Now there's different cars coming down. Are you okay? To the guy. And I'm thinking, like, I hope this thing isn't broken as well because now I've screwed up a golf cart. But thankfully, golf cart, pretty durable. A couple of scratches, which went away with the rain. And everything's okay.
And that guy's all right. He's made it.
Yeah, but the very next hole, Gareth, the very next hole. Okay,
I can't believe he called you a cunt.
So the very next hole, now I'm still feeling a bit frazzled, and I just slipped out for birdie, which was quite annoying. I'm still feeling a bit frazzled, and he is now, he's not much of a walker, so I think he generally is in a cart, and you take him to his ball, and he hits and stuff. Alan, by the way, this is nothing derogatory. I'm just describing the situation, if you're listening.
Oh.
So, man, Alan.
Okay.
So now he puts his club back in the car, the very next hole, in the bag, and you walk around, you get in the car, and off we go. So I'm like, waiting. I hear the club go back. I see him in the corner of my eye.
He won't get back in with you.
No, he will. He did. But then I drive and I almost drive over him because
Oh, no, Ben, you can't.
So this poor guy is now, I'm thinking, oh, shit, this is going so badly. So badly. And then he managed to survive. He was bleeding profusely from the arm. But yeah, and he just sort of sucked at his vape pipe the rest of the round, didn't say much.
Oh, he had a vape, huh?
He got a bit annoyed with his own game, no doubt, because some guy just tried to kill him.
Well, you frazzled him, yeah.
And then we went on to lose 3-1.
What a disappointment. But at least you're alive. I mean, the both of you.
And I missed like 5 really makeable birdie putts, which
was might have been a red sky in that morning. Mm. It was a shepherd's warning.
There was actually a red sky that morning. Yeah. I've got this amazing time lapse of what the shepherds did to the sheep. And it was a good day.
I spent Thursday and Friday last week at this amazing place. I was also riding around in a golf cart and the wild animals
around.
Millville,
weren't you?
Yeah. Oh my God, what a beautiful place.
I haven't been, but I've heard incredible.
So I was riding around in a golf cart, and I honestly was just on my own on this golf cart, having the time of my life. It's just driving through these beautiful surroundings in a little golf cart. You feel almost like a kid on a 4-wheeler.
Not anymore.
Not for you, Ben. But I'll tell you, it's a hazard if you go the opposite way to the way that you play on a golf hole, because you don't see the bunkers from the other side. So you actually have to, if you go uphill, you always have to assume there might be a bunker on the other side.
Correct.
To take it extra slowly. Plus, I kind of tried to stay off the course, even though there was nobody playing. It was quiet.
Well, you can't play there.
No, you can't. Ordinary people are not
taken there by Investec.
Ordinary people are not allowed to play there.
Oh. So. Fancy.
I haven't even played this year, and I've played like everywhere.
Yeah.
Ben. Shout out Investec.
Okay, calm down with the plugs.
2 weeks' time.
And it is pretty keen. It's immaculate. Like everything is manicured to the nth degree.
Yeah. It's an incredible place.
It's spectacular. Their water, there's one hole, and I don't know, what do I know about golf courses, but this made me want to learn more about golf courses. Mm-hmm. It's one hole where the green is on an island in the middle of this lake. And you have to get to it by various wooden bridges. And
a green is
A green is where the hole is, yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
It's the very, very smooth, extremely well...
manicured.
Yeah, taken care of and preserved patch of earth that you find the hole on. Mm-hmm. Where you could... I mean, you can roll... You could roll a ball on that and it'll keep going and keep going, keep going. It's just beautiful. Anyway, so the golf cart thing, they are quite treacherous. I mean, poor Ben, I feel for you. And if they turn over, it can't be easy to... They're not light. They don't weigh nothing.
No, they're not. And the fact that it was in a ditch...
And this old man, you almost killed him.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we're glad that you survived, Alan.
It became a running joke for the rest of the day, and obviously I was known as that guy. So when you get taken away on like a car trip, I could have crashed it I could have crashed this thing at better times, but it was a BMW day.
Yeah,
here I'm crashing a car.
Yeah,
looks a bit bad.
They don't really want you to drive.
And then
in
the actual main event for the night, Dan then played the video on the screen, just so everyone in the room knew it was me.
Because you didn't have footage of you actually wheeling backwards into the ditch. That would have been funny.
That would have been funny. I would love to have seen it. Privately, of course.
I am listening to a really interesting scientific audiobook. It's the kind of thing most people wouldn't be that interested in, but it's about territoriality.
Mm-hmm.
And about how all animal species have a propensity to private property, which until the 1930s was mostly undiscovered. Like they've done research here in this, it's an amazing work about everything from birds. I mean, what they're suggesting in this work is that all animals have an instinct for territory, and that mostly this wasn't observed until the 1930s because most of the animals that were observed in captivity. Makes sense, right?
Mm. Yeah.
If you're in captivity, you don't have a range, you don't have a territory, you don't defend it, you know, because it's everybody's kind of put in cages. So birds, insects, primates, the whole range of animals really don't behave in captivity like they would in the wild. And until they were observed in the wild and taken seriously, which was only in the 1930s, the only reason people would go into the wild before then was to hunt and kill these animals or to expand human horizons into them.
Mm.
So really, animals were never observed properly until then. And a lot of this observation took place here in South Africa, and a lot of it took place in other parts of Africa, but really all over the world. they discovered that even birds, male primates, not so much the insects, because remember, insects are 300 million years older than we are.
Oh, shucks.
I mean, that's a long time by any stretch of the imagination. But particularly vertebrate animals, from stickleback fish to a bunting, which is a bird that lives in the reeds,
to how old are you, Ben?
Stickleback.
Yeah, you know how vicious. Have you seen a Siamese fighting fish?
The least popular of the fish.
Have you seen a Siamese fighting fish? These things are so territorial and aggressive and hostile to each other that they do not back down. They will kill each other. If a male enters another male's territory, one of them will leave a corpse.
Oh, these are quite beautiful.
Siamese fighting fish.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
Oh, it's that iPhone wallpaper.
Yes.
Okay.
Now Sia relates. Yeah.
Very, very, very aggressive, very dangerous. Mm. One of them leaves.
Did you accidentally summon me?
No, I did not, Siri. You can go back to bed.
What did Siri just say to you? Did you accidentally summon me?
Leanne, you have the clingiest Siri ever. She's constantly going, hi, Leanne, hi, Leanne, what can I do?
And she sounds abused. Did you summon me?
She picked up the words very dangerous, and she was like, oh my God, Leanne's in trouble.
So the most interesting thing, and I'm only halfway into this book, but it's just amazing. So they talk about how the instinct for everything, sex, danger, food, protecting your young, all of that, in the observable research that has been undertaken in the last couple of years, all of that is subsequent to the territorial impulse. In other words, They cite the example of one of these birds that has a small range where there is, you know, seed fields or whatever. The bird and its mate, it's usually the male that's territorial. There are very few exceptions, but mostly it's the male. These two birds will be defending their territory against a weasel. Weasel's coming to kill the young. And if a third bird comes in, the male bird will actually break from trying to distract the weasel to fight off that other bird.
Jeez.
From its territory. That's how, in other words,
priorities.
It's turning its back on its young, it's turning its back on its mate, it's turning its back on food and danger in order to take on a rival claimant to that property. So I'm finding this interesting because, you know, we're talking at the moment about the human condition, and in South Africa where there's a lot of talk about property and about land, and remember, we're just another kind of animal, right? And what's interesting about this is that the impulse, the human impulse to protect your private property, seems to be more powerful, and this goes right into primates. The only other primate that is a terrestrial, in other words, walks around on the earth and has its territory on the earth, the only other primate we can observe is the baboon.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, the baboon has these big societies, and the reason to have big societies is to protect the territory first and foremost. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
And it's not that, you know, the baboons are polygamous, so there's usually one alpha male, and he has a harem of women, usually two or three. It's not that many. But he will band together with other male baboons in order to control a large territory and protect and defend it. But the interesting thing about baboons, obviously, is that they're not particularly good at defending themselves against things like leopards, because they've got a very general, all primates, all of us, including humans, we have a very general body. We don't have a horn to defend ourselves or claws. Or,
I think you find most people battle to defend themselves from leopards.
Yeah, I think that's the point, right? And baboons are particularly sought after by leopards because they're very defenseless.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got those long canines, but really, they're not positioned.
They can make a noise, but
they're not positioned for killing. Like a leopard's teeth are positioned to kill and snap your neck. Baboons are not really that useful.
No, it's for eating bananas.
Well,
it's also for like impressing chicks.
Yeah.
Like the big alphas, they're always showing the teeth.
But the whole premise is that the territorial impulse is almost primary. It comes before all these others. Now, I mentioned that stickleback. They have a little nest. The male makes the nest,
mm-hmm.
and the further it goes from its nest, the less courageous it becomes. And the more someone else incurs upon their territory towards the nest, the more aggressive they become.
It's just like Mediterranean men, then.
Exactly. And these are, funnily enough, they live in Europe. So quite, there's possibly a link. But isn't that interesting? Like a man, whether it's a bird or any male, whether it's a bird or a fish or a primate or a
human
or an antelope or a human, their house is really their castle. And this is something which has only really been taken up seriously by science for probably about 80 years, maybe a little bit more. Before then, it was much ignored because people took the sexual impulse, which is something you can observe in captivity, to be the primary driver of society. And it isn't. I mean, gibbons don't really enjoy sex. Gibbons have sex as little as possible. They're not really into it. Orangutans too.
Chimpanzees,
not big on that.
Though.
Chimpanzees,
big
very
sex.
Very voracious sexual appetite. Same with chimps. With the gorillas. Largely gorillas.
The bonobo apes.
Bonobos love to have sex.
But they do it facing each other.
Yes, which chimps do the other way around. So bonobos face each other when they make love. Chimpanzees
take it from behind.
Bang each other from behind.
Yeah.
But so does that say something about how...
Evolution?
Just by the way, bonobos were only made distinct in the scientific research as a species, as a subspecies. They were thought to just be another kind of chimpanzee. Bonobos have only really been distinct as a species for probably 50 or 60 years.
Mm.
Before that, they thought they were just chimps. They've only discovered that there's a difference in the last 50 or 60 years. Wow. But it's amazing. You hear about this stuff. I mean, for example, they took 300-odd rhesus monkeys from Southeast Asia and put them on an island in Panama and observed what they did. The first thing they did, before anything else, I mean, they've got ample food because the food was given to them. There are lots and lots of other rhesus monkeys, so this, you know, they can build a society any way they like. There were no predators on this island, so they didn't have danger. All the factors that they had to deal with at home were removed. They put on this island, and the first thing that the males did was establish territories and become hostile to each other. Immediately.
It sounds like an episode of Survivor.
Isn't it interesting? Like, it's just, I'm finding this fascinating.
Day one, all the men kind of suss everything out and build a shelter.
Do you know that there's a bird called a lapwing, and what it does is the males arrive in a territory a fortnight before the females, sort their shit out in terms of who's in charge of what piece of earth. These are birds. And only after they've had 14 days of arguing about the territory and fighting with each other about the territory do the women arrive. And then they're in peace.
So that Nelly Furtado song is actually quite inaccurate.
Which one?
I'm like a bird, I want to fly away.
Yeah.
I don't know where my home is.
Yeah, well, you could never trust Nelly
Furtado. One last interesting thing that I picked up on this.
I'm sorry.
Birds, particularly male birds, only sing when they're in their territory. And usually it's not because they're happy and having a good time. It's because they're letting everyone know this is my territory.
And also, if they're in someone else's territory, they don't exactly want to make it known.
No,
they keep quiet.
They're dead quiet.
Yeah.
Birds will never make a noise outside of their own territory. So if you hear a bird making a noise, you could pretty much expect that it is in its home.
Staking
it considers that it's space, three-dimensional space for birds and for primates.
Yeah.
For a lot of other animals, it's a two-dimensional space. They can actually map it out, like we would map out a plot of Earth. But for birds and monkeys, they have a 3D space that they occupy, particularly up in trees.
I have a weaver bird who owns the one tree in my garden.
Right.
No other birds are allowed there.
Yeah.
He builds three nests at a time, two of which...
The female destroys?
No, he's actually got so good. I've been watching him over the last 2 years or year and a half. She doesn't destroy them anymore. His nests are beautiful.
Wow.
And
he's an architect.
He's busy from morning until night, and he's singing the whole time and flapping his wings. And she pitches up every now and again. I don't know if she's having her nails done somewhere or what she's doing, but she pitches up and has a little look, and he goes nuts. He flaps his wings and screams and pretends he's building another nest. He's like, look, I can do a fourth.
But that is one of the best questions in nature. Where is she? Why isn't she helping? Like, is she looking at other nests and going, small penis,
and
nice nest?
He makes this huge, big flap and noise, and he's bright yellow. And she comes in and doesn't make a sound. She just goes into the nest, has a look, and he's outside going, boss.
The only time female birds make a noise is when they are indicating to a male that they're interested or not. That's the only time they make a noise. Otherwise, it's only, most of the sound you hear is male birds.
So if you're a bit of a slapper, you just can't keep your beak closed.
Or if her little ones... Janine.
Jeepers Janine.
If her little ones are in danger, she does that too. And that I know because the six animals at home that I have underneath the tree tend to end the lives of the little ones quite soon. Usually when they're just learning to fly.
The circle of life.
That's horrible.
Well, there's lots of other interesting stuff. I'll bring in some little tidbits from that work when I'm done with it. But things like the Cuban lizard, where the male actively pretends to be interested in every female going past so that his females defend the territory for him. He doesn't lift a finger.
Clever little shit. Oh.
So he pretends to be like really interested as the other females, the loose women, walk past. Wow. So his three women, two or three women usually.
They're like on edge the whole time.
The whole time, and they defend the territory for him. And
shame.
Yeah, because they're so worried that he's going to cheat on them.
And isn't then the old ones become alcoholics when they're sick and tired of life.
Oh, it's just amazing. You know, the more that you accept that you're part of the animal kingdom, the happier you will be about this incredible position where we have to learn these things. I mean, most animals don't know why they react to something. They don't think it through. They just react out of instinct.
Mm.
We have the ability to understand this stuff. It's like a privilege and a curse.
It is a curse because we overanalyze our own our own ways.
I just wish people weren't so sensitive about the fact that we're also animals. Like somehow, I think it's mostly religion that's made people this way, but people somehow think we're better than the rest of nature, and we're not. We're as stupid as the stupidest fish, and we're as clever as the cleverest chimp, and everything in between. Do you have an international vision for your business? Let the UK Department for International Trade help you with the tools necessary to be competitive on the world stage. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Well, Hlubi Mboya-Arnold, who is, of course, the co-host on Future CEOs, that's a show here on cliffcentral.com, she spent some time with four fantastic female entrepreneurs, all being supported by the UK Department for International Trade, the DIT, to learn about their international journeys and the growth that they've experienced. Make sure that you download the hashtag Power Woman series from the Future CEOs show. It's powered by the UK Department for International Trade. You can find it, as you can all our good podcasts, on cliffcentral.com. That's the Power Woman series for Future CEOs, powered by the UK Department for International Trade. Go and find it right now on cliffcentral.com. All right, news. You want to know what's in the news?
Yes.
Let's get to it because we're running a little bit late. All right, there is a lot of news because it's a No Politics Friday. You can rest easy that there isn't going to be anything that'll piss you off. But apparently Beyonce and Jay-Z are offering a lucky fan a chance to win free tickets to any concert of theirs for life if they make a pledge to go vegan. How's that? Couple have unveiled the Green Print Project after penning the foreword for Marco Borgia's new cookbook, The Green Print Plant-Based Diet, Best Body, Better World. And they're giving one lucky fan who pledges to go vegan a chance to get their hands on tickets to their concerts for the next 30 years. I mean,
oh my word.
Beyonce and Jay-Z in 30 years, I'm not sure I want those tickets, but let's...
You probably have to prove yourself every time over 30 years.
And if you get caught eating meat during that time, can you imagine?
Oh,
someone will bust you, because you know what people are like on social media. They'll take a picture of you somewhere eating a hamburger or a piece of bacon one morning at the buffet, and that's it. Beyonce and Jay-Z will turn on you like a crocodile.
And especially crazy fans.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So are you going to do it? Anybody going to do it?
No.
No, thanks.
I think I'm kind of exempt.
You've always been a vegan.
Well, vegetarian, but I guess I can cut out dairy and see what happens.
Why not? If you can get free Beyonce and Jay-Z tickets for life. I wonder if they'll include travel.
I'm not that fanatical, though.
No.
I can survive. I still need my yogurt.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see who the winner is. It's probably going to be some pale, not necessarily healthy-looking individual who's desperately in love with Beyonce and will creep the hell out of Jay-Z.
Mm.
All right. City of Cape Town has obtained... City of Cape Town has obtained a final interdict preventing further illegal occupation of the Woodstock Hospital site. Apparently, the court ordered us not allow existing occupiers to further erect or extend any structures or bring in furniture. City says they're considering the way forward. Apparently 700 occupants are on the site and they will stay there. As much as we can't call it a victory, we know that the number of people we're dealing with is 700 and we're going to let that grow. I don't know whether anybody's got a solution to this, but this idea of just occupying a piece of open land is desperation on the part of the people who do it, because they just can't live as far as they do from their places of work, and they have no means to secure any other kind of property for themselves. We were just talking about the territoriality of animals. But the territory doesn't belong to you, and there are property rights. And any country that's going to function properly has to have property rights. Any human society that functions properly, in fact, any animal society that functions properly, has to have property rights. If you don't have them, it's a disaster. It underpins everything about the economy. And clearly in Cape Town, they're dealing with this. It's as a result of the Group Areas Act so many years ago, which deprived people of private property. And in the context of things, I don't know what the solution is, context of our history. But someone somewhere is going to have to figure this out if we're to live in harmony together. 700 people are sitting on an open piece of ground next to the Woodstock Hospital. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work out well. They're either going to have to be moved by force, or they get to assert their rights and keep their property. It's not like these people have got a lot. They're living in shacks. So I don't know what the solution is. If you've got any ideas, you can write to the mayoral committee and see if they're willing to listen. Wiseman Mayiwa was involved in an accident on the N3 while traveling back to the Free State during the Christmas break in the APSA Premiership last November. He's 19 years old, and he has been forced to retire from professional football after sustaining serious injuries in that car accident.
Yeah, so sad. 19.
Yeah, Bobby Motaung said Mayiwa sustained spinal cord injuries that have left him as a paraplegic and wheelchair bound. Mm. So, I mean, you know, the last thing he should be worried about is reclaiming his soccer career. That's not going to happen. He's got a very different life ahead of him. The state, in the murder case of the Kolinyi teenager Matlomola Moshweo, has argued that his murderers deserve life behind bars because they continue to lie despite overwhelming evidence against them. So arguments in mitigation and aggravation of the sentence have now been wrapped up in the High Court in the Northwest. Pieter Doerewaert and Philip Skutter were convicted of Moshweo's murder back in 2017.
Goeie genade, those names.
Those names, huh? After accusing him of stealing sunflowers worth 80 rand from a farm. Advocate Rapula Molefe has argued that those two had no regard for Moshweo's life, as he was killed for a mere 80 rand's worth of sunflowers. She says convicted murderers failed to come clean about what really transpired. So they've already been convicted of the murder, now it's a question of sentencing. And if you do lie during your testimony, and it's proven that you've lied, then why should the court give you a mitigated sentence?
Exactly.
Send them to jail for longer. But we live in a country where you can be murdered for 80 rands worth of sunflowers, or for a cell phone, so we've got to establish some kind of value for life. And those are the things you need to know this morning. There's one other thing. You want to talk about the SABC briefly?
Okay.
The public broadcasters released a statement on Thursday afternoon saying it has decided not to renew the notice to invoke Section 189 of the Labor Relations Act, which means that the Act allows companies to retrench employees and sets out how it must be done. So the SABC has announced that they have terminated the Section 189 termination process. So they've terminated the termination of people.
Yeah.
It's a big relief for SABC employees who've been under enormous stress. Oh, well, shame. You shouldn't work for such a shit place.
Oh, come now, Gareth.
You love that place. Mm-mm-mm.
No, I just, I feel like, you know, people have got to realize in this country, you hear unions talk as if the only reason that people start businesses is to employ someone. It's very odd. It's just complete lack of understanding about why businesses exist. Businesses exist to provide services and products to people who are willing to pay for them so that the person who started the business can make a profit. You only employ who you have to employ in order to make that business work. If you employ more people than you need, you'll probably run at a loss eventually. If you employ less people than you need, you won't get the work done, so you'll also run at a loss. So it's very hard for an employer to get to exactly the right number of people that need to be in the company. Somehow unions in South Africa and lots of people in government seem to think that businesses exist just so that they can give people something to do during the day and give them money. Really, that's what a lot of people in this country think. Oh, there's a business, especially a state-owned business like the SABC, which is constantly being bailed out because it doesn't make economic sense. They don't make enough money to stay afloat on their own. They need to be given government money, and they need to badger us about TV licenses the whole time in order to stay in business. Now, that's not a business. That's what you call an invalid.
I remember when I was there, I was doing the jobs of two people just because I could. And they stopped me from doing that.
Yes.
At the same time.
Right, because you're basically preventing someone else from having a job.
So I had to stretch those two over 14 hours.
Yeah. And which is ridiculous in every way. But they don't know what they're doing. So they're doing a skills audit, apparently, to review the increase in costs. But employees' jobs are safe for now because they've come under pressure from the minister. So let's see how this sorts itself out. No politics Fridays. I'm going to leave it at that. 17 minutes to 7. Bitcoin at $3,412. Ethereum at $105. Ben, what do you have for us in this sport?
Gareth, an incredibly large sporting weekend ahead. And David Beckham and his mates are becoming big shareholders in a small football club. Yeah, so much of the live sports. Let's get into what you're looking forward to this weekend, mostly because rugby is now part of the menu as well. So over 50,000 rugby fans are going to go to Cape Town Stadium tomorrow, and they're going to watch SA's Super Rugby teams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, how about that, hey? I know no one's really excited about Super Rugby as itself, but this is a very good initiative, and Super Sports behind this, SA Rugby, they're trying their best to get people excited, and they're having the four Super Rugby teams from this country playing against each other. Well, there's two matches, of course. So that'll be the Lions taking on the Sharks at 2 and the Stormers taking on the Bulls at 4:15. But this weekend, it's actually the Spider Lions versus the Shark Panthers at 2. And then it'll be the Thormers versus Captain
Thormers.
Bulls.
The Thormers?
Because you know they're wearing the Marvel outfits.
Oh, Thor.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're wearing the big Marvel outfits. And
Spider Lions.
Yeah, well, it says Lions are Spider-Man, Sharks are Black Panther, and then Stormers are Thor, and the Bulls are Captain America. But again, this is, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, what an absolute oversight by some moron to make the Bulls Captain America. Dwayne Vermeulen's playing for the Bulls. He is a very close resemblance of Chris Hemsworth as Thor. I mean, this poor guy, his kids even look up to him as Thor, and now he's got to wear a Captain America outfit. You dumbasses.
Emasculating, right?
It's dreadful. Terrible brand messaging, because at least then people like Bulls fans would have gone and bought the Thor outfit because Dwayne Vermeulen's there.
Oh.
So this whole thing is around marketing, bravo, but that's just stupid. Someone should lose their job and go work for SABC as punishment. It's just stupid. Come on. Better than this. Attention to detail. This is what separates us from those primates that Gareth spoke about earlier. We've got to have it.
Yep.
So SuperSport 1, you can watch all that. If you are going to the ground, there's no way you can buy tickets at the ground or collect them. So you better buy them up front. I think it's circa.co.za if you are still keen. So the original idea was they're going to have the lower tier of Cape Town Stadium, fill that up. But now the demand has been such that they're actually opening up other areas of the stadium.
Hmm.
And just think, this is what rugby in Cape Town should be. I know Newlands has got all the history and all that blah, 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 the mountain, all that kind of stuff. But we need to get to the big stadium and market it better. It's such a great experience going to that Cape Town Stadium. There's a fan walk and you can go to nice bars afterwards. And it's just a really nice part of town and make going to rugby such a pleasurable thing. It's safe. It's well lit. Whereas Newlands, if there had to be a fire in Newlands, like, it would take 3 hours to evacuate that stadium. People would die. It's old. Look, there's a reason that Sepp Blatter came in here and wanted new stadiums. First one was to make money. Second one was to make even more money. But the third one was actually valid, was that a lot of the stadiums just don't fit up to modern safety specifications.
Okay.
So this weekend, we get a glimpse of what this country could be, rugby-wise, if it wasn't for very fat, lame, and just basically inept officials. I did not say Tello Wakefield. Can't say I did. Just said if it would be better. Didn't actually mention his name, though.
It's a terrible name.
Put it on to me. Yeah, but also big rugby this weekend is the Six Nations. Six Nations are, Sia, of course, France, Wales, England, Ireland, and who else?
I forgot.
So, right. The Six Nations, otherwise known as the Five Nations and Italy.
Five Asians and Italy.
Five Asians and Italy. That's
unfair.
That's a different kind of production. So this weekend, starting right now, Friday, France versus Wales, 10 o'clock tonight. You can get to see that one. Of course, Ireland go into this as heavy favourites because they kind of were the best team in the world last year. They won all those big events, the big prizes, and the coach was named Coach of the Year. But tomorrow, 4:15, it's all South African times, of course. Scotland will be taking you on Italy, so they'll go up to a nice win there. And then the big one, 6:45, Ireland versus England in Ireland. So a huge weekend of rugby to look forward to because it is the month of February, which means that rugby for season has officially started. Exciting. Also happening this weekend is the start of the T20 series between Pakistan and South Africa. Now, of course, the Proteas had a very handsome win down in Cape Town this week. They won the ODI series 3-2. And it will take, obviously, a lot of confidence with this. But now it's a T20 series. And normally you would think T20 series, not that important. But with it being a World Cup year, Otis Gibson gets to obviously try people who he got in contention for the World Cup. Plus play some new players. Now, there's some guys who did really well in the Mzansi Super League who are getting the chance. And so great to see. So if you are in Cape Town this weekend, wow, what a weekend. You get to see the Thormers. You get to see now the T20 match at Newlands from tonight, 6 o'clock. And then Sunday, I'm going to go to this one. 2:30 at the Wanderers Stadium.
Are you going to dress up?
No.
As a superhero?
No, I'm an adult.
Okay. Oh. Well.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You were laughing at the something fish earlier. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So, and then after that, Centurion. Centurion will get the final T20 match.
Yes.
And that will be on the 6th of Feb. And then it's time for Sri Lanka to come. So lots and lots of cricket to look forward to. So ice cream salesmen rejoice over this time, basically. But after the 24th of March, they'll go back to really pondering what else to do in life. In other news of cricket, England are still shite. But like really shite. Or are West Indies just actually really good? Hard to say. Either way, England went out to bat yesterday and all they could gather together was 187 runs in 61 balls. Kemar Roach and Shannon Gabriel again, which is too hot to handle. And West Indies, they will resume today on 30 without loss. They're really digging in there, 30 of 21 overs. So not only are they beating England, they're also boring them shitless as well at it. Great strategy. I'm all behind it. In football for this weekend, well, we've got the English Premier League. Of course, Liverpool are still, I think, 5 points clear on top of the log. But this weekend's going to be very interesting. Man City, of course, all the Abu Dhabi money. They are in a bit of a spot of bother, really. Pep Guardiola, which I think is still his name, he says this team is just not aggressive enough. Well, they get a chance to be aggressive this weekend. Sunday, this is the big one for the whole weekend. Man City versus Arsenal. Arsenal. They'll play decently, but ultimately it's men against boys against the big teams. That game will be at 6:30 on Sunday night. So if you haven't got your full already with the crickets and the rugby, there it is. Other games to look out for tomorrow, 2:30, Spurs will take on Newcastle. Newcastle, of course, just beat Man City, so they're going to be cock-a-hoop, as they say, or just confident, one of the two. Chelsea took a big dicking this week to Bournemouth, so they'll take on Huddersfield to kind of regain some pride, 5 o'clock on Saturday. And then Man United, they'll be away to Leicester. The whole top six is actually, it's very interesting if you do look at the log. Obviously, Liverpool and Man City, I believe, are the only two that can win. Spurs are 2 points behind Man City in third position, but they've got like no one playing for them right now. They've lost everyone who is decent up front, so they've got no chance. They will fall away, but they were always going to fall away. And then you've got Arsenal, Chelsea, and Man United. They're all fighting for that fourth ultimate position, which takes you to Europe, which is a big deal. In APSA Premiership Actions Weekend, Wits will take on Marisburg United tonight at 8 o'clock. Golden Arrows versus the Highlands Park tomorrow at 3:30. Free State Stars versus Polokwane City. And, well, as you can see, not a great weekend for the Premier League PSL. I always try to throw it in. I'm sorry if it sounds token, but it's just not that exciting. But I'll tell you what is exciting. David Beckham and his mates from the class of 92. So that's Paul Scholes, the Nevilles, Nicky Butt, Ryan Giggs.
What are they doing?
They've all become big shareholders in Salford City, which is a
Salford
lowly kind of club.
Are they going to fix it up, huh?
Well, that's what that's what you can do. Of course, football being the big business that it is, yeah? There's already some big Singaporean businessman who owns, I think, 60% of the club. So Beckham and his mates own the other 40.
It's clever because they could they've got marketing clout, so they could definitely attract a few people to the stadium. They do some interesting things. Yeah,
it's so easy. Now, this was a club that David Beckham actually spent a lot of time with as a youth. And so obviously it means a lot to him. But it is. It's such an easy win for these guys because now everyone knows who Salford City is. Mm-hmm. They then get more money. They get more players. They then get promoted. And before you know it, they'll be doing cocaine off hookers' bottoms in no time at all with these players, whereas that normally would have just worked in the chippy. And that is what capitalism is, people. It makes dreams happen.
Yep.
Right there.
Wow.
Right there. Big weekend of golf, but obviously some controversy around that because it's the Saudi International being played at the Royal Greens Golf and Country Club in Saudi Arabia. Now, going into the week, there was a mass outrage of how all these high-profile golfers could be playing in Saudi Arabia, to which world number one Justin Rose said, "I'm a golfer, not a politician." But of course, they're all chasing huge amounts of money. But look at the field that these guys managed to assemble. They've got, obviously, Justin Rose, current world number one. They've got four other world number ones playing. Plus, they've got, like, Brooks Koepka, he's in the mix. They've got so many players. Basically, everyone except for Tiger, Ricky Fowler, and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. But it's a really good field. But most notably from a South African point of view, Justin Harding, he's up there, first round, 5 under, only 2 back from Thomas Peters. Now, Justin finished top 10 last week at the Dubai tournament, which means you go into the next tournament, which here he is. And this is career-changing. He did so well in the Asian Tour last year, which got him into some of these events, and now he's doing really well. And because there's so many people in this field that are of such high profile, it means huge amounts of world ranking points. So Justin from Stellenbosch, he's doing well there. -5, just 2 back. Also a whole bunch of other South Africans in the mix. And if you like the American golf, well, it is the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Yes, I remember that. Sounds great.
I've made a note of
Waste Management.
Yeah. It's the cleanest show on grass, as they say, because there's zero waste. But people often call it the Wasted Management Phoenix Open because people get so hammered there that they queue up from 5 in the morning to get to the 16th hole. They wait all day, get absolutely shit-faced, and then there's like concerts in the evening. It is an incredible event. And currently, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, and Harold Varner III are at -7, leading that one. So you've got so much to look forward to this weekend on the sport. Really is just non-stop. And if everything else, well, I'll catch you up on Monday.
Wow. Bumper crop, Ben. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm tired after
that. Super Bowl finale, Ben?
No, that's not sport, it's marketing.
Hey, it's somebody's birthday this weekend.
That's what we're waiting for, the Super Bowl halftime show.
Is that especially for your birthday?
And this,
okay, it's and the Rams versus the Patriots. Tom Brady's 75th Super Bowl, and blah 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 blah. Beyonce.
It's
Beyonce's performing there.
Well,
yeah. It's Sia's birthday.
What date?
Yeah.
Is it tomorrow?
On Sunday.
Sunday, so the 3rd.
Do we get cake today or cake Monday?
Oh, obviously Monday because he hasn't brought any today.
Oh, no. You guys leave. I'll.
No, we're organized. Don't you panic.
Oh, woo! Calm down.
Oh, my gosh. Right on cue.
Oh, I know exactly what is happening.
That was actually bizarre.
Look at that beautiful cake.
Gareth was sitting across and he was making eye contact and like hand signals. I'm going, what is going on? I'm trying to look over my shoulder.
And there was no one there.
And the studio's empty. Oh, Crystal, thank you.
So Crystal, yay, who is our own best friend in the world of confectionery. Sensational Sugar, you can go and look her up on the internet. She's got all the social media accounts that you could possibly wish for. You could see some amazing work that she's done.
Ooh.
Hey, Crystal, grab
this
microphone.
What sort of green would you describe that
this
as?
This is just
gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Hey, Crystal. Well,
hi, Gareth. Hi, guys.
Gorgeous cake. Well done. I mean, you are just amazing.
Oh, thanks, Gareth. I mean, I try.
You're so busy too. I'm surprised you find time for us.
It's
because
bedazzled.
I now when I email you, I get an automatic response that you're just too busy.
I am. Yeah, I'm fully booked until November. April.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, you guys are always my favorite, so I make a plan.
That's gorgeous.
That is actually supposed to be grey, and overnight the cake decided to change a tinge of.
It's like green. A teal. Bluey, greeny. It's beautiful.
Well, yeah. Oprah's favorite color is green, so it works out.
And as Sia pointed out, it is bedazzled.
And it has 3 sparklers on it, which again reminds everybody, CS3.
Yes, exactly that.
And the 3rd of February.
And my history of working at Spur.
That's right.
No, that's a lie. I just wish I did. Okay, so, now it makes sense. I was feeling so paranoid. I was looking over my shoulder.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday for Sunday, Sia. We needed to make a fuss
thank
of you.
Thank you.
Luckily, we have Crystal, who's able to, at the drop of a hat, come and join us with something spectacular that only she could make. So you booked up until April.
I am, Gareth.
God, your business has taken off, huh?
It's keeping me busy, out of trouble. Yeah, classes are going really well.
You're teaching other people to be as good as you?
I mean, I'm trying to.
Are any of them even coming close?
I mean, a few handfuls.
Okay.
There's potential.
I see your stuff because it comes up on my Instagram feed from time to time. You do kids' stuff. I mean, obviously they have to book this months in advance, but you've done like Marvel superhero stuff and Minions. And
yeah, I've done some pretty cool themes.
What's your favorite bin so far? And what's your most challenging one bin so far? Because people have bizarre demands, right?
They do. I must say, though, there are certain themes that I just sort of refuse to do any longer. If people ask them, I just say, I'm so sorry, but I'm fully booked.
Like what?
Penis cakes.
Penis cakes.
Cupcakes.
No, Ben.
Cupcakes instead of cupcakes.
Who are you, Ben?
Like Paw Patrol, Frozen. I can't. Unicorns. I'm so unicorned out. I can't anymore.
Okay.
But I do love it. I love. The problem is that I don't want to do the same cake twice.
Yeah.
I lose my creative freedom when I have to replicate something. So
if people come to you with a picture, you go, no, sorry.
I'll use elements from that picture, but I won't replicate it.
And
because
your work is so unique, are you charging like a wounded buffalo? What would you charge for that cake of Sears?
Sure, Gareth, you're putting me on the spot.
Don't undercut the price. Make us feel bad because it's very expensive and let people know what this kind of thing costs. So I mess you around.
I mean,
this is not for you, poor people.
Oh, okay.
Poor people, go and buy a cake at the nearest store. This is not for you.
Well, Gareth, I mean, making cakes is by no means going to make me a millionaire.
Okay, but how much do you charge for this?
It's a labor of love.
Ingredients, labor.
Gareth, probably about 800 to 1,000 rand.
It's a very decent price. I wouldn't complain about that.
I would charge that to make that.
Yeah.
Well, if you could, of course you can't.
I mean, if I could.
I also take advantage of the fact that I am in demand.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I do charge a bit of a premium for
that. Damn right.
But it's worth it.
You shouldn't
goodness.
Feel bad about that at all, really.
Well, very, very nice work. And I think you should charge probably double that for some of the stuff that I've seen you create.
Oh, you're too kind.
All right. Crystal from Sensational Sugar.
Thank you guys. Thank
follow
you.
Follow her on Instagram. And we've got another surprise for you, Sia. The other day, Sia's nephew was in here. Now, you know Sia's...
Oh, yeah.
You know Sia's got a song, right? Everybody knows that Sia is a...
that song.
A recording artist. And we're not going to play that song because it's awful. But your nephew is way more talented than you. He's Young Yolo. Came in here, and this is Sia's special birthday treat. Listen to how good this is. This is Sia's nephew singing. It's not a birthday song, but it's singing his song that he made up. He's a rapper. He's 7, 8 years old.
He's in grade 2. Yeah, he's going to turn 8 this year.
So, yeah.
Oh, no. I haven't heard this either.
This is great. So, there's a debut of YOLO's song, Crispy Nuggets.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Okay.
Beautiful. Are you ready?
Okay.
A one, a two. A one, a two, a three, a four.
One, two, three, go. Crispy nuggets, chicken nuggets, bear nuggets, crispy nuggets, shaky nuggets, shake it nuggets, good nuggets, bear nuggets, crispy nuggets. Chicken nuggets, bad nuggets, crispy nuggets, shaky nuggets, shake it nuggets, good nuggets, bad nuggets. I'm in the rant, you can't run, you are so down, you can't run. I'm in the rant, you can't run, you can't do maths, yeah. Crispy nuggets, chicken nuggets, bad nuggets, crispy nuggets, shaky nuggets, shake it nuggets, good nuggets, bad
That's spectacular.
Oh, he's a good nugget.
I'll tell you something.
That's his favorite pastime, chicken nuggets.
He just sat down. He sat down in front of the microphone and just started rapping, and we've turned it into a song. Well done to his producer, Greg Cohen, on that one. But really spectacular stuff.
That's
from
so cool.
Yolo, Sia's nephew.
Greg is also behind the massive hit It's You.
Yeah, which we're not going to play.
Greg's basically, he's like a I've forgotten his name now.
It's a Pharrell.
He's like the Pharrell of No Talent.
He takes No Talent and makes it sound great.
My nephew and I, you know, we just come from a very musical family. We're the South African Jacksons.
There we go.
Thanks.
So, happy birthday for Sunday, Sia.
Thank
now,
you.
To get you a little tantalized for what's going to come. Of course, Leanne went to a sleep clinic, remember, and underwent an excruciatingly awkward overnight stay for a sleep test. Do you remember the discussion?
Oh, right, yeah.
3 weeks later, it's just yesterday,
dun, dun, dun.
She was called into the pulmonologist's room for a consultation and a reveal of the results. Leanne has the actual results, which she'll share with us in a little while. Very exciting. And we'll also talk about her aunt's anus.
Oh. Yes, an update on my aunt's.
Still problematic, the anus of your aunt.
Not too, giving up.
Too small, apparently. But we'll talk about how we expand the size of Leanne's aunt's anus. Aren't you excited to be with us on a Friday to learn these things? Aren't you excited?
Yes.
I'm excited about this cake. I can't stop staring at it.
Wow. Okay, it's all happening. You know what to do. 0861-555-189 if you want to join in the conversation. And there's lots of news and other good stuff to talk about after 7. It's just after 7 now. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.